the amazing thing where you predict things and then they come true, and you're able to do that without forcing people to follow your plan. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to, like David, be in awe of thy word and to understand it. We ask that the Spirit would open our eyes and that we might understand the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Daniel 2, there are four worldwide kingdoms, and then it goes into the Antichrist. In Daniel 7, there's three worldwide kingdoms, and it goes into the Antichrist. In Daniel 8, there's going to be two of them, and then it's going to shift into the Antichrist. Okay, in Daniel 9, it mentions one of the kingdoms, and it goes into the Antichrist. And then Daniel 11, it just goes right into the Antichrist. Okay, in Daniel 8, okay, it starts off this vision of the ram and he-goat. Okay, and in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, okay, so this is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. Okay, so in his third year of his reign, it says, a vision appeared unto me. So a vision or a dream is how God made his words known before written revelation. So Daniel received this through a vision, and then he wrote it down. Okay, and so it says, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first, and I saw in the vision. Okay, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace. Okay, that's a word. You see some of the words in the Bible. Shushan, run the context of that or the definition of it. You take that to Nehemiah and Esther at the beginning. Okay, and so then that will go in line with this. So he's at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai, whatever that is. You see all these little details, and you see what's the purpose of that. But there's a reason for everything. Then he says this, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and two horns were high, and one was higher than the other, and the other higher came up last. So the interpretation of that would be Media Persia, where you have two kingdoms and they go back and forth. Okay, and then it says, and I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, and he did according to his will and became great. Okay, became great in the eyes of men. So Jesus Christ, if you would, in Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus Christ summarizes earthly kingdoms. Okay, and so this is what you see. So governments in any culture are bullies, is what they are. Okay, America had a very unique experiment at the beginning where individual people were the highest authority. That was very unique. Okay, and so that lasted for a while, and then deception has come in, and people have voluntarily lost that power, even though it's still there. Okay, but it's all by being a bully or violent. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Okay, what do they call the police officers? Enforcement. Law enforcement. Okay, and so that's the governing procedures of the Bible. I mean, of life. You just see that. Okay, America started off where King George threw off the colonies. King George threw it off and then hired German mercenaries to attack the colonies, and that told the people in the colonies, we don't have a king, we are no longer under his subjection. What do we do? What do we do? They declared independence. They asked France to help them. Of course, they didn't. And they amazingly as a miracle, defended themselves and survived and became a nation. It's amazing. Okay, there are some. Have you ever read the stories about George Washington when Indians were marksmen were trying to take him down, and he had shell fragments like in his hair and in his jacket, and he shot a horse or two out from under him, but the opposition, I think it was the Indians, said they had an order to their warriors, get that guy. And he couldn't get him. And years later, an Indian chief walked miles just to meet George Washington's, and he was saying something like, the man that we could not kill. Okay, and there's just amazing stories like that in American history. Now, the Masons, of course, are going to try to take George Washington as their hero, and which they have done. Okay, but his testimony seems to be a little bit different. And it appears that a Baptist preacher by the name of John Gano baptized George Washington after he made a profession of faith. Okay, so we have a tremendous heritage, but America was very, very unique in that almost all governing structures, the government controls the people. America, in the beginning, the people controlled the government. Okay, and even Thomas Jefferson, who was the third president, obviously, I know he was a deist, but he came out and said that he told like Congress and Senate, if we don't keep the people appraised to what we're doing, we will become wolves and raven the prey. And of course, that's what's going on. Okay, and so it's hard to keep that liberty. That's why it says in Galatians, you know, about our liberty. You know, and it's very difficult to keep liberty because somebody's always trying to take it from you. And so you just try to live as God, as in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 2, it says you pray that you can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Okay, and a lot of times when you read the story of some of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence, they were not rabble-rousers. They were men of means. Honest John Hart was a guy that built a Baptist church, and he had 13 children. And when he put his name in that document, he, you know, signed that document, kissed his wife goodbye, and was on the run because they became targets for the British. You know, slept in a doghouse one night, and I don't even know if he got to see his family again. And I'm sure in his grave, if he's looking up at America now, he's probably saying, "I don't know if that was worth it." You know, and, you know, there's just tremendous stories about our country, and to whom much is given, much is required. So it's pretty sad to see what's going on in our country as far as things go, especially when you learn the history. So in Daniel 8, verse 4, as Old Testament, as in the New Testament, as in any kingdoms, it operates by violence. That's just how it works. The kingdom of God is different. So in verse 5, he says, "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the east of the whole earth and touched not the ground." Okay, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Okay, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Okay, now, you know, these animals in nature is a survival of the fittest, and nature always follows a line of least resistance. And so, you know, I on occasion when I get the opportunity, I like to watch nature shows. I think, how long did them guys have to sit in the woods to take these pictures, or when that tiger came, or when this elephant came, or something like this? We go to a dentist down in Monticello area, and when they lay you back in a chair, he's got a screen up there, and he's got all these, you know, nature stuff, you know, fish and all that stuff. And when I'm looking at it, and when you don't have something in your mouth, you know, the dentist always asks when you got something in your mouth. And I'll look up and say, what is that? Is that Lake Schaefer or is that Lake Freeman? And, right. But it's, I like to watch those things. But you watch them animals in nature, they are ruthless. Okay, and that's the devil's kingdom. That's how the devil's kingdom operates. Survival of the fittest. Okay, and when one spirit over a nation gets weakened, another spirit conquers them, then that nation goes down. It always starts like in the heavens, and the earth is a byproduct of what's going on in the heavens. Okay, so in this, the immediate fulfillment of these two animals, I say immediate fulfillment, before Calvary, he's going to tell us right off the bat in verse 20, the Bible, it doesn't give general predictions. It doesn't give stuff like, oh, the sun's going to rise on such and such day. Okay, it names it. The Bible names it in detail. So chapter 8, verse 20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Okay, so that is modern day Iran. Okay, and then he says, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. Okay, so historically we know that would be Alexander the not so great. Okay, the world says he was great. He died a suicide at 33. He was a drunk. I think his personal tutor was Aristotle. So you have Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates. Two of those were sodomites, the great wise men of the past. Okay, and Aristotle, I think it was Aristotle, was his private tutor. So this is Greece, okay? Modern day Greece is a very small nation. So this would have been very large, and it came all the way around Israel, and it came even down into the northern part of Africa. And in Africa or in Egypt, Alexander the Great began a city called Alexandria. That's Alexandria, Egypt. He had a dream that that would be a multicultural city. It had a museum, the Museum of Alexandria, okay, and that's where all the new Bibles come out of, Alexandria. They go from Alexandria to Rome, and then the Greek friars, okay, the King James translators warned about popish persons and self-conceited brethren, so popish persons, and I call the second group Greek friars, okay. A friar is not a monk, a friar is in public, where a monk is in private, and they take a vow of silence until they hit the hammer, or hit the nail with their hammer, and then they let it all go. Okay, but the Greek friars, okay, and so they usually are Protestants, but they follow the deception of popish persons. And that's the Alexandrian Bibles. Now, this is history that anybody can read, okay, anybody with the new Bibles can read this. And they admit it. They don't hide it. They will tell you they're Alexandrian manuscripts. But they don't tell you what they don't tell you, they hide. They hide the ideas that the men of the NIV did not follow their manuscripts. They say they were the best, but they didn't follow them. If they're the best, why don't you follow them? Okay, the same with the New American Standard. Now, basically, on the translations, the NIV is usually the most popular amongst the common people, but the professionals, the New American Standard, yes, that's closest to the originals, the New American Standard and the New King James flushed out the fundamentalist. That's what that one did. Okay, and the New King James, when it came off the print, they had an enigma on the title page, and it was three sixes coming around. They've taken that off, okay, because sort of kind of cat gets let out of the bag, and so forth and so on. So, this is not Years ago, when I was down at Dead, and I went down to this camp and saw the 1/4 size of Noah's Ark, and there's the camp director, and he saw my belt buckle, and it said, "The Bible, God uses hate, Satan hates," King James Authorized Version, and then he said something like, "You know, why would you say that?" And I just asked him a question: if you had a Bible and a choice, get it from Israel or Egypt, which would you choose? And he answered my question, Israel. So I said, okay, great, wonderful, no problems with me, and I walked off. Well, in reality, he has chosen the ones from Egypt. And so that's where in Proverbs it says, Proverbs 16, verse 7, I want to make sure I get it, the gears are stripping a little bit here. Okay, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Okay, to be at peace means they've been silenced. Hold your peace. So you know when you get your question just right, and this is a technique Jesus often used with the Pharisees, is they would throw out something and he'd throw a question back at them. And the question is designed to expose their hypocrisy. And so my question right on the spot with this guy was unfortunately going to expose his hypocrisy. If he was sincere, honest, and humble, I would have thought that he would have said, I need to research that. Because that's what I did. Okay, and when I came across that idea, you know, when I came across this idea, the first book I ever read was called Let's Weigh the Evidence. Anybody ever see that little book? It's by Chick Publications, very little book. First one I saw, and then on the back it had references, 8 books that go with the same topic, and I bought all of them. Because I wanted to know the truth. David Owens Fuller, Jasper J. And there were 2 by some guy named Ruckman. I didn't know who that was. Not a clue. And when I started reading his stuff, I thought, he's exaggerating. He's just trying to sell papers. People will do that. You know, look on YouTube, they'll put some glowing title, Who Killed JFK? And then in a video, they won't talk about him. It gets a lot of hits, but they don't talk about it. And so I thought he was exaggerating. And then I started writing to schools. And I started asking questions. And I discovered, he's just touching the tip of the iceberg. They do get upset. You know, I got a personal letter from Bob Jones III, and boy, he was sort of kind of warm in the letter. But I've kept all those things. I was just looking at them. I found them in a filing cabinet down there. But I learned a lot of things, and it cemented my faith in the Word of God. It's just amazing. Okay, and so let's see, verse 7, verse 8. He says, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, okay, and he was strong. So this is historically Alexander the Great. Okay, the great horn was broken. Okay, so he died at 33. And for it came up 4 notable ones toward the 4 winds of heaven. So history shows us that there were 4 like military leaders that kind of jockeyed for the position after Alexander the Great died. Okay, and then he's, as the Bible will often do, it will jump on us. And in verse 9, and out of the one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Pleasant land, obviously, Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Oh, okay. Now, does that not kind of sound like Revelation 12, where the devil has a third of the stars and then they come down? A lot of times people take that third of the stars and they put that in the past. I'm thinking, just think, there are some angels in heaven that still are going to make that plunge. Because Revelation 12 is future. So in verse 9, it looks like he is now jumping to the Antichrist. And it's going to run from verse 9 to 12. Okay, and then Daniel is going to try to understand this. So he is jumping 2,500 years And he's trying to understand something that he's never seen in his life. And sometimes it would make him sick to his stomach. Okay, so what's going to happen? Okay, so in verse 10, the host of heaven, so that's what we could call Star Wars. Okay, but Daniel 10 will give a little more details about this. So this is in this age, according to Ephesians 2, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Okay, so that's where most of his activity is, running in this atmosphere, the first heaven, what the Bible would call first heaven. That's where most of his working is taking place. Okay, in Ephesians 6, it's called friends in high places. So these friends in high places, they'll get on these high mountains, in these secret mountains, like in Colorado Springs at Manitou Springs, or in the redwood, the virgin redwoods of California, 3,000 acres there, where they have, you know, reserved for the movers and shakers, and that's probably where they choose the presidents. Okay, and they go out there and they worship this 40-foot statue called Molech. It's an owl. Okay, so this is in. You say, why would anybody try to go see it? Well, go try and see what you experience. Okay, they'll run you off. Okay, or try Area 51. There was a guy a while back who was trying to get a bunch of people to go to Area 51. I knew it wasn't going anywhere. Okay, and it's not going anywhere because those are places where Satan has a stronghold. Okay, and so this is where the scriptures and prayer comes in play, where we're wrestling against those beings by that and preaching the word and stuff like that. So this is the host of heaven. And in Revelation 12, Michael casts Satan down to the earth. So now he's on earth. Okay, he's cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. So now, 1 Peter 5, not now, but during that time, 1 Peter 5 says, Satan is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And does that devour literal? That is literal, and we give all the scripture for there, a bunch of scripture. Where that one-eyed cyclops, anybody ever read Black is Beautiful? People think the flat earth, that's crazy. You ever read Black is Beautiful? That's Ruckman's book. You talk about some out-of-this-world stuff. That is really strange information in there. Okay, but we got the Antichrist, and notice what he's going to do in verse 11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. So he's going to magnify himself to be in God. He's going to go into the Jewish temple, declare himself to be God. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Okay, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. A host. Isn't that interesting that the Catholic Church calls that a host? You know, the names, the words. Okay, so the Antichrist is going to cut a deal with the Jews and the Muslims and the Catholics, and they're going to, just like in Dubai, where they're now building a synagogue and a Catholic church and a mosque all together, okay, in Dubai. And so this is going to give a 7-year agreement to that. And then the Jews are going to whip up real quick a tabernacle, a tent-like structure, and probably start the, you know, maybe a more elaborate structure. But they can whip it up in just hours, and they're going to start the sacrifices. So the Jews are all ready to do this. The Temple Institute, they've got the priestly garments, they've got the red heifer, they've got many of the Levite children that are prepared for these things. Thank God. They're getting ready for it. So they're going to take that red heifer down there right off the bat when they get this going, and they're going to think that they're forgiven as a nation. They're going to start following Judaism. And then the Antichrist, somewhere in there, is going to say, okay, different program. Okay, you're going to worship me now. And that's one thing that's going to trigger the Jews. That's the switch. Are you serious? See, that's why they crucified Christ. Blasphemy. He declared himself to be God. So when the Antichrist declares himself to be God, the Jews as a people, the ones that are sincere, are going to, 144,000 are going to come to the real Savior. And the Antichrist is going to start killing them right and left. Okay, and this is going to be accepted and approved of by the vast majority of the world. The apostate Jews and the fake Jews will be the instigators of this, just like the Pharisees and the scribes were the instigator of the crucifixion. So of those 140,000, I don't know if it's an individual agreement or if they get together somehow, but a tenth of them will voluntarily stay in Jerusalem area, knowing that they will die and they will be offered as a sacrifice, and the rest take off. Okay, they just run throughout. They're scattered, just like James chapter 1 says. They're scattered, just like 1 Peter chapter 1 says. Scattered. They're going to go throughout the world. They will not have to have language school. God will give them the gift of tongues. He will give them the gift of healing. Those are all Jewish sign gifts. Everything will be back in order. They won't have to buy Babel, that little thing that, you know, does the translating for you. Okay, and he's going to offer them up as a sacrifice. Okay, let's try a few places for this. Let's try Matthew 24. Some Baptists are going to tell you that Matthew 24 took place in 70 AD. So, wow, that's something. That's what happens when you read a book and then try to make the Bible say what you want it to say. Okay, so Matthew 24:13 is obviously a favorite verse for Pentecostals to hold people in bondage. But they don't read 14, Gospel of the Kingdom. They don't read that. Okay, they don't see the words "the end" at the end of verse 14. And they don't see verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Okay, that's when the Antichrist goes into the Jewish temple, into the Holy of Holies, and declares himself God. Now, the guys that think this took place in 70 AD, they will say, well, Titus went into the Jewish temple and sacrificed a pig. And that was the abomination of desolation. Well, maybe it was an abomination, but it's certainly not as bad as sacrificing a human being. Okay, now, of course, we know the Catholic Church is pretending to do it every time they have a Mass. We know the pretending, but it depends how much they believe. Okay, and so some of the scripture, Psalm 14:4, "Have all the workers of iniquity who eat up my people as they eat bread." Psalm 79, let's try that one. Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 1. It's kind of funny, when we moved to Colorado, I say kind of funny, but when we moved to Colorado, about 3 months before we got there, somebody broke into the church, Cornerstone Baptist Church, and they took honey and poured all over the books, like of the pastor's library, and pop all over the place, and axes, and they beat the keys of the pianos and the computers, and they left money around, didn't take anything, they just beat everything up. And we were told that it was about $300,000 worth of damage, okay? But somebody found a Bible that was open to Psalm 79, verse 1. And it says, "The heathen have come in." Now, granted, this is a temple, but it's just kind of interesting. "Oh God, the heathen are coming into thine inheritance." Thy holy temple have they defiled, they have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of heaven, the flesh of the saints unto the beasts of the earth. Okay, now when we read the word beast, we think four-legged animal. What if it's something different? If their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there is none to bury them, we are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. So what do they do with the Jews until they want to offer them as a sacrifice at the certain given holiday, a full moon? Can you imagine satanic activity going on? December 21st, death of the sun god. Because it's the shortest day of the year, the resurrection of the sun god, December 25th. A lot of activity going on now. In verse 11, what do they do with the Jews until they actually sacrifice them? Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. Somebody's in prison. Okay, does this make the judgment of the nations give it a little more understanding? With the judgment of the nations, he's going to judge the people on earth who visit his people in prison. And the ones that visit them in prison will be the sheep, and the ones that don't will be the goats. If you're going to visit somebody in prison and the Antichrist in charge, it's like visiting somebody in prison during the Holocaust. Your name is on a list by doing that. And so that's why Hebrews 13 verse 2, it says about, remember them who are in bonds as bound with them. All that doctrine fits perfectly if you get all those things together. This is why those people are rewarded so much, is because when they go to the prisons to try to help out the righteous, they are putting their name on a list, and when they get home, they may be watched or surveillance or just get them also at the same time. That's why that's such a big deal that Jesus brings that up. Okay, and so there's so many more scriptures on that. Let's try 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is called, described to be the fifth seal judgment in Daniel, in Revelation 6, where they see the souls of them under the altar. Okay, and that's the sacrifice, the human sacrifices. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, so once in the Bible, Jesus refers to the Father, Holy Father, in the Lord's Prayer, meaning John 17. So that's the only time Jesus referred to the Holy Father. So when the Pope says, Most Holy Father, he is putting himself above God. Okay, and every year now of the last several years, you can get online where there will be an Easter Mass, and the altar boys will be singing to Lucifer. Lucifer the Christ, who had the Son, the Christ. And this Pope put a televised, making sure that that got televised, because they've made an open shift to that. Now, of course, the New Bibles, they don't know who Lucifer is. And the Masons say Lucifer is the good God and Adonai is the bad God. So the Masons are worshiping a Luciferian doctrine, as Albert Pike openly said that. Albert Pike is the only Confederate general that has a statue in Washington, D.C. Pike County in Arkansas, 33rd degree parallel. I mean, it's just amazing, all that stuff. Okay, and so They come out and say Lucifer. Now James Strong of the Strong's Concordance believed Lucifer was the Christ. So do you trust those Hebrew and Greek definitions of Strong's? I don't. He was in the membership with Madame Blavatsky of the Ghostly Guild. Westcott and Horton. I mean, Gail Ripplinger documents a lot of this stuff. I mean, we're going back into stuff, and these people are defying God. And they have been. Okay, and so this is Lucifer declaring himself to be God. Verse 8 is called the wicked. Okay, and then verse 9 and 10 shows his methods. This is why he's got to get rid of the King James Bible, because it's the one that exposes his methods. The NIV, they changed Lucifer, put Morning Star in, the New American Standard put Day Star in. Okay, and so, you know, people think, oh, you just prefer the King James. A little bit, but it's a bigger deal than that. It's a much bigger deal than that. Okay, so that's verse 11. There's a lot more scripture on that where Micah said they fillet any of your fishermen. You fillet their skin from off them and eat them. And we're starting to see now, public ideas of cannibalism. Okay, we're starting to see this, and they're just getting people conditioned. Now, if a person is an atheist or an evolutionist, what's wrong with cannibalism? You're just another animal eating another animal. Okay, but the conscience tells you that it's not right. Because God has written it on the conscience. So, okay, so that's up to verse 12. We'll pick up 11. And 13 and 14. And run them 2,300 days. I give you kind of an idea of what I'm thinking of that one. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask you to help us understand your words. Lord, as the believers in the church has fallen more and more into apostasy, help us to remain faithful to you, not with a self-righteous attitude, not with a persecuted complex attitude, just because we want to please you. And help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.